So I selected some very short passages from Scripture because they, in different ways, they tie in with what is the central message for today, which is namely, how do we human beings encounter God, the concept of God, God that is so vast and all-encompassing that it boggles the mind? How do we do that? What does the Bible say about that? So there's a passage first from Isaiah, who in Isaiah's way is quoting God, where he says, "I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation that did not call out my name." And then in Psalm 46, it's written, "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted throughout the earth." And then in the Christian Testament, the New Testament, from the book of Mark, "Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or the cock crow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." So we try to cope with this concept of a God, the creator God, the God that is everywhere, transcending the universe, creating everything that exists, and yet is so close as to be within you, around you, and knowing everything that is going on with you individually, and has you here for a particular sacred purpose. How do we as human beings come to grips with, try to understand, to relate to communicate about a God that is so vast and so complex and mysterious as to boggle the mind? And it has been ever thus, ever since the beginning of humanity, people have tried to develop some form of grasping this concept of God, primarily through the use of metaphors or parables or rituals or dogmas or myths in the purest sense of that word. Something that is accessible to us with our limited ability for comprehension. And clearly that is what has happened in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, where we have these rituals and dogmas and accessible pinch points, touch points, where we can begin to understand something about God. Going back into Psalm 103, one of the earliest images that I think many of you are old enough to remember from when you were brought up reading this: "The Lord has established his throne in heaven and rules over everything." And speaking somewhat personally, that was my image of God growing up, that there was a stern king who looked remotely like Charlton Heston, way up in the stars, frowning down on all of us. That was certainly my concept of God growing up. And what were we doing here? What was the idea of the kingdom of God? Well, we were here on this planet as some sort of stopgap measure, either as some form of punishment or as a test. And then when we died, we would find out if we got the lottery ticket where we'd go up into the clouds and live happily. Or for most of us, either for original sin or because of some misconduct, down we go to bake in the fires of hell for all of eternity. And that was the myth. That was the metaphor that allowed people to get some concept of God through my spiritual growth and a lot of reading. I have concluded that that myth, that set of metaphors is not only inconsistent with the Bible and our own experience, but it can also be dangerous in terms of really terrifying people to the point where they eventually reject all concept of God, and that we are gradually moving away from that type of metaphor into something new. And I want to just talk about what are kind of the most acceptable new forms of understanding the concept of God now in this time and place, where the kingdom of God is not some remote place far off in the distance overseen by Charlton Heston, but instead it is something where we feel the direct presence of God in our individual lives, where we have a direct connection to the love and the attention of our Creator. And the two metaphors that are used to describe this kingdom of God now are transcendence, meaning that God is everywhere, all around us. The Creator God has created goodness and is everywhere to be found and accessed everywhere. And immanence, which means that God is within our souls, within each one of us, and can be accessed through our own internal spiritual growth. These two concepts, by the way, of transcendence and immanence can be reflected in the sacred architecture throughout the last 2,000 years, where you will see soaring cathedrals which are intended to demonstrate the transcendence of God, and Quaker and 17th century colonial churches that are all designed to bring you into yourself where you can convene through the immanence of God. So through the Bible, these two concepts of the kingdom of God, come out clearly in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus keeps saying in terms of the transcendence of God, I am the gateway. This is a real human being who is saying, look, you can see God in the created world, a person. It's not something remote. It has a real live person that accesses you. Then you have all of the metaphors in the Old Testament about the burning bush, Elijah whispering in the cave. In the New Testament, you have the whole concept of the Eucharist, where there are concrete, created things in front of us that take on a mystical understanding of God that Jesus taught us. Isaiah said, I am ready to be approached by those who do not study, ready to be found by those who do not seek me. I am here. Again, this concept that God is in the created world, transcendent, everywhere for all of us to see. All we need to do is, they say, wipe off our lenses and be able to look around and see the created world and see the gateway to God. A phrase, by the way, Richard Rohr has just written a wonderful book called Just This, in which some of these ideas have come out, where he says that by doing that, wiping your lenses and looking at the transcendence of God, you will see the finite manifested in the infinite, heaven, including all of earth here. The now is the way to the always. The material is the way to the spiritual. The visible is the way to the invisible. The perfectly hidden and perfectly revealed is together in every moment, in every person, and in every event. This is the true transcendence of God. And in fact, Rohr has written a book called Just This. If we can step back and say, here we are, this moment, together, the person sitting next to you in the pew, just this, are aspects of the transcendence of God if we can simply understand that. I use the word behold as well because, and I didn't count this myself, but the word behold is used over 1,000 times in the Bible. And it's this idea that look around at this created world, at the people around you, about the things that are happening, and say, behold, look at this. It's another way of saying, look at what is around us. Look at this transcendent God everywhere. Say, behold, just this. Here we are. This is God. The other aspect of this is immanence. This is God within you, the spark of God residing in each one of your unique souls. This is the God that is beyond our consciousness, underneath our words, but still accessible to each and every one of us. How? Through deep prayer, through community worship, through our actions, and as we grow in spiritual maturity, being able to, in the silence of our own contemplation, reach the divine. I say in silence because unfortunately, so much of our world is this busyness and noise and iPhones and telephones and televisions that rarely do we have the kind of silence that is contemplated certainly in the Old Testament, but also the New Testament. In the Psalms, when quoted by Jesus, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's that being still part of life that so few of us have access to anymore. A time of stillness. It's a sense that's called spiritual tranquility, where through your own spiritual growth, you have an inward trajectory where you encounter that spark of the deity within you. That's the immanence of God. So, what's the message? The message is we don't have the capability as human beings to fully grasp the concept of God. God who does everything and knows everything is too vast, complex, and beyond the scope of our rational and even our mystical capacities for thought. And that some of the metaphors that have come up over the years have not been helpful to us in gaining access to that concept of God. The two ways of thinking of God that are now recognized by most theologians and are supported amply in the Bible are transcendence, appreciating, gaining access, recognizing the reality of God throughout the created world, and immanence, which is your inward trajectory into your soul, into that spark of the deity that is there waiting for you, if you can put that kind of, encounter that silence and put that kind of effort in there. So those are the two messages for you today, immanence and transcendence. I wish you luck with all of that.